Well, good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. He came to earth as a baby in a manger many years ago. And who is worthy of a whole week or a whole month or whatever set aside for celebration of his birthday and him coming to earth the first time. To get us started, I want to think of how it is maybe in some homes across America at Christmas time. And there were in the same country children keeping watch over their presents by night. And lo, it was said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, that is for all people who can afford them. For there will be given great feasts of turkey and dressing and cake and many presents. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the presents wrapped in bright paper lying in the family room beside the fireplace. And suddenly there will be with you a multitude of children and relatives and friends praising you and saying, Thank you so much. It was just what I wanted. And it shall come to pass as the friends and relatives are gone away to their own homes, the parents shall say to one another, What a mess to clean up. I'm tired. Let's go to bed and pick it up tomorrow. Thank goodness Christmas only comes once a year. And they go with haste to their cool bed and still don't find their everlasting rest. And it's kind of a humorous little parody of Christmas. But I think that's the reality. They do Christmas. Oh, I'm glad it's done. The mess is over. They don't understand that Christ, outside of Christ and Christmas, is they're left with just a mess. Right? It's kind of a play on words. They're left with just a mess. A mess and a mess without Christ. You know, their lives and houses, at the end of it, their wrapper probably strewn about. And it doesn't stop there. Their finances might be a mess. The average American family spends about $1,000 on Christmas gifts. It varies, but somewhere around $1,000 mark. It's been trending upwards. 60% are going into debt in relation to buying gifts for loved ones that they may or may not like. And they can't wait to get done with a mess. Oh, I'm glad it's past us. But I hope it's different in our homes at Christmas. But I'm afraid there's maybe a sense of truth in the fact that sometimes we want to get it past us because of the busyness of the season. So I want our households to have Christ in Christmas. And I want our households to tell our children the reason for the season, right? We hear that saying, the reason for the season. Well, what is the reason for the season? To tell our households effectively and consistently that there's no question as what is the most important part of maybe a family get-together or whatever else it might be. I want our households to decorate, to carol, to go to family gatherings, to work, to go gift shopping, whatever they're doing so joyously that people know that, hey, there's something more that they're missing. When they say Merry Christmas to you, you have an opportunity. And then after Christmas, after the events that we go to, family gatherings, reunions, I want us after Christmas, and I want you after Christmas, I want me after Christmas, to not just be tired and glad that it's past, but I want us to contemplate the story, right? As we contemplate the story of Christmas and everything that's happened, right, from the beginning and how it all unfolded to the very end. You can see at the end of Luke chapter 2. After all that's done, that we looked at the story and we're excited about it. We have a reason to go and tell. And so as I was thinking about and what I should, I guess, preach on, there was a phrase that came back to me as I was reading over the Christmas story. And it settled again and again. And so this morning the title is A Treasurer and a Ponderer. A treasurer and a ponderer. And that's what I want us to be as God's people. You guys can turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Luke chapter 2. Very familiar passage, but I think it's a beautiful story of the summary of what has happened. Luke chapter 2, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made known when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20, And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Familiar section of verses. But I think that in every single chapter of the Bible, there's kind of a highlight verse. And I didn't read all of Luke 2, obviously. But what would you say is the highlight verse, or the most important verse, in this section of Scripture? What's the most important verse? Should I call on someone? Let's go ahead. Verse 11. Let's all read it together. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's the most important verse right there. You know what's more important than the taxing and the amount that they had to pay? I'm sure Joseph was probably, I don't know if he's grumbling on the way, but so far, who knows how much they're going to be paying, but it's more important than that. It's more important than the journey with Mary, the 60 to 90 miles. It says by the way of the sea, I think, in Matthew. So it might have been somewhere around 80 miles that they traveled. It was more important than that. It's more important that there's no room, as inconvenient as that would be. No room. It's more important than that. It's more important than the fact that they're relegated to an animal stable to have a baby. It's more important than the shepherds seeing the angels and them coming running into the area and finding Mary and Joseph in the stable. It's more important than that. It's more important than the Magi coming and bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's more important than that. You know, everyone started talking at the end there. Everyone was talking and marveling. There must have been more than one than just Mary and Joseph from what the account is giving us. So I wonder if there's a number of shepherds, but I wonder if the Magi are there. And they're talking about what was said to them. You know, this is a key verse for ultimately celebrating Christmas. So why we celebrate? It's the focal point. You know, the gift that was given to us on, you could say Christmas Day, it wasn't maybe that technically, but when Christ came to earth, that was the most important gift that we'll ever have, that we could ever share, that we could ever give. That the Savior Christ was born. The Savior Christ was born. The most important part that the shepherds and maybe the others gathered there, I think, though, in amidst the hubbub and them talking and marveling and describing what had happened to them and the angels singing, which would have been incredible, okay? I think I would be awesome to be able to experience that. But more important than that, and as they're talking about it, it seems like they missed a depth of understanding. In Luke 2:18, it says, "And all those who heard it marveled at what the shepherds told them," and they're talking about that, and they're chatting about that. And they were more concerned with what was being said than who was laying before them. They were marveling and they were wondering, like, wow, these things are happening. Exciting time. But did they miss the important part in the actual, you could say, the worshiping of that moment? You know, Luke 2:20 tells us that they returned and they were glorifying and praising God, okay, for what they had seen and heard. So they did. They got part of the picture. They were glorifying God. They got the message. But in Luke 2:19, and maybe this is because Mary, I think, spoke into Luke in his writing of the account there in Luke 2. But it says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the first thing I want to say is not to glorify Mary, okay? It's not to glorify Mary, okay? Not to glorify Mary. The focal point is Jesus. But I want to observe her response to the message. I want to observe her response and then the handling. So we are told of the birth of the Savior and of the way of salvation. We're forced to reckon with it, right? And they were trying to by exclaiming about it. But it's either going to be belief or disbelief, right? If you would just walk up and someone told you about the way of salvation the first time and how it all started, well, start with a baby in a manger. It's going to be belief or disbelief. You're forced to make a decision. And the Christmas story naturally leads to a choice of the will. Like, can you actually believe that Christ, the Savior of the world, was born into a stable, a lowly family, and that he's going to save us from our sins? A lot of people, that would be the stopping point. Woo, that's a big story. But do you believe it or do you reject it? And that's how the plan starts. That's how God's plan unfolds. And we get to observe that. John MacArthur says this, Mary illustrates that hungry heart that wants to understand the depth of this great salvation. Illustrates the hungry heart that wants to understand the depth of this great salvation. We see it in her response. You know, I think she's probably sitting there listening to them talk. It's surprising for a woman maybe to do at times, just to sit there and listen to someone else talk. But I think she's sitting there and she's listening to these shepherds telling the story. And she's observing. She's trying to put together everything that she was told of by the angel. You know, the angel had said that his kingdom is going to go on forever and that a Savior of Christ was born. And she's trying to put this together. She's sitting there and observing and thinking and contemplating. You know, I was talking to my father-in-law, Dale, about this story. And he had made the comment that Mary was having a rhema. And I had never really thought of it in that way before. But a rhema is this. It's that the living voice of God uttering or revealing truth, and it speaks it directly to our hearts. It's like when God is speaking to us and revealing, or you could say, taking some scales off of our eyes, revealing more about the way of salvation. You could say, you could also rephrase verse 19 a little bit to maybe get a better idea in our language of what it could say. So instead of saying, of keeping those things, well, if it's something that you keep, it's something of value. It's something that you value usually fairly highly. It's not a value. It goes where? In the landfill. It's gone. But it's something of value. Hold on to it. And so this could be said treasured. She treasured those things. Some translations say that. She treasured those things and pondered them in her heart. And when you have something of value, you tuck it away. You keep it at a safe spot. And when I think it was shortly after we got married, after we had Jackson, my grandma had said, hey, I have a gift for you. She wanted us to come over some evening and she'll give us a gift. She didn't tell us what it was, but she was very set on that. And so we did. We went over to her house and she got this little box. I don't know, a little, maybe 2x2 box, 2 inches by 2 inches, very small. And inside of it was a little coin. And it was given from, I think, my dad's grandpa would have been, and then given to his son. And then she was going to pass it on to the first good son that would have had another good son, I guess you could say. So that way it passes along. It's kind of an heirloom. And so it was something of value that she treasured, and she wanted to pass it along to me. And so it wasn't anything of great value. It was less than $10. But it was something that I treasured, right? And I put it, and I put it in safekeeping. And I kind of think that's what Mary was maybe processing. There's something of value. There's something of great worth here. And she's sitting there. She's observing. And everything's starting to come together before her eyes. The Savior of Christ. The kingdom's going to reign on forever. Like, how is this all going to work? And I wonder if that's just kind of the idea of her treasuring in her heart. You know, treasured means a deep reflection. It means to keep in mind. And that idea would maybe be if you're dating, right? Or if your spouse is something nice to you, you treasure that. It's just something that you value. The other idea is to safely store up. Pondering in the heart means to mull over or seek to understand and then interpret. So I think that's what she's doing. She's trying to seek to understand Savior right here in the manger. His kingdom's going to reign forever. He started in the manger. She wants to understand what it means that a Savior has been born, which is Christ the Lord. So Mary treasures these truths and she ponders her response. Later in Luke 2, at the end of Luke 2, verse 51, it says this. And he went down with them. This is when Jesus was left at the temple. And Mary and Joseph are like, okay, where is he at? And so they turn around and go back. And he said, didn't you know that I was going to be about my father's business? And then he submits to them. And was subject unto them. And then Mary, his mother, kept all these things in her heart, it says. All these sayings in her heart. And they found him what? Speaking with great wisdom, so much so that the Pharisees and Sadducees were like, wow, like who is this young boy? But it says she treasured them or she kept all these sayings in her heart. So we see Mary continually treasuring, to grasping, to holding on to storing safely something of value and mulling them over, trying to interpret what they mean. She wanted to know more. For us, just as Mary treasured the unfolding story of Jesus, she's sitting there and watching it. We too are called to hold, to treasure, to reflect, to ponder, to think about the wonders of the Christmas story, and then share the gift of the gospel to those around us. You know, for us, it's fairly common. We've probably heard the Christmas story, depends on how old you are maybe, once or twice, three times, four times a year that we hear the whole story, it's fairly often. But for someone else, it would be completely new. And so I guess one of the questions I had is that, do you treasure the story of Christmas or Christ coming? Do you treasure that? And have you pondered over, and we were this morning a little bit in class, pondering over what it would have been like for Joseph and the story of Jesus coming to earth? The kingdom of heaven has come down. A Savior has been born, which is Christ the Lord. The way of salvation has begun to be revealed. Do you treasure that? The start of the way of salvation. You know, as we start to treasure and ponder, or we think over, like, all right, Christ came. He's the Savior of the world. Christ our Lord. And now, you know the rest of the story as well. You could say the Romans road and his walk and his ministry and the death on the cross and the resurrection. We know that. But when we are treasurers and ponderers, we start to mull over and interpret how we should live our lives. We become worshipers. We worship just like the shepherds did, the Magi. They came and they worshiped. And Eugene Peterson says this. He says, worship does not satisfy our hunger for God. It whets our appetite. We want to know more. There's more to the story. It doesn't just stop on day 26 there, Drew. It keeps going, right? There's more to the story. God wants us to go deeper. Our need for God is not taken care of by engaging in worship. It doesn't stop there. It's supposed to deepen. We're moved to greater understanding. And then it overflows the hour and permeates the week. And so when we're done with Sunday, the service, or we're done with reading our devotions in the morning, it permeates the rest of the week. And then people are like, something's different. Wow. Worship does not satisfy our hunger for God. It whets our appetite. It deepens it. Our worship catapults us off to deeper relationships and understanding the way of salvation. Okay, when we can actually kneel, say, wow. In humbleness, wow, the Savior of the world, start off as a baby, and that's what I'm trusting in. God's way of salvation. So I want this week for us as believers, you know, the Christmas week or the Christmas month or however long you celebrate or think about and mull over Christmas, I want us to be able to be engaging in worship. There's a lot of things that happen during this month. Between Thanksgiving to New Year's, there's a lot of water goes over the proverbial dam. Are we treasuring what we are hearing and thinking about? There is yet one problem, though, in our culture. One that threatens to derail worship. You know, be able to slow down, to sit on your knees, or to sit back and try and treasure and ponder, to think over, to interpret what it means for us. There's one problem, and let's turn to Luke 10. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Another familiar account. But as I thought about the parody of Christmas for some people, I think that it might not be too far out of context for our culture and our fast-paced culture. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So, brothers and sisters, God is here, he's near, he's come, right? And we get the opportunity to slow down, to worship, to be drawn into a deeper relationship, to view him as the babe that has come, as Savior of the world, Christ our Lord. It's easy to run around like Martha, cumbered about serving, cumbered, especially for probably the ladies at this time, okay? More so than the men. We sometimes enjoy the fruits of the women's labors. But can we slow down enough to kneel and worship like Martha did, or Mary did? Mary chose the good part, and Martha was encumbered about many things. So sit down and treasure. At some point, maybe it's in your devotions, maybe it's before the get-togethers happen, maybe it's find a spot, find a time to sit down and treasure the story of Jesus. But we as God's people must slow ourselves down enough to actually take time. What has been given to us. Take time to ponder. And as we sit down and treasure, something happens. We're drawn closer to him and we worship. And then we want to know him more, and then it overflows from just this week to the rest of the year. And then what happens? When we're worshipers, when we know the way of salvation, don't we tell? We go and tell. And that's what the shepherds did. Whoop! Turned around and they returned glorifying and praising God. Don't let it stop on day 26. The focal point is Jesus. and then go and tell. And then we tell others. But that begins with us treasuring and pondering. It begins with treasuring and pondering. The treasuring and pondering leads us to worship, and then we tell. At Christ's birth, the Savior of the world, who has come, and the good news is right here. We tell someone about him. Do you treasure the gift that's already been given more than the gifts that you might get? Do you treasure the gift that's already been given more than the gifts that you might get? Whatever it might be, you might be disappointed. But do you treasure the gift that has been given to us? Savior, Christ our Lord, has been come. You know, there's two times that I distinctly remember getting something for Christmas, and I treasured it more than some of the other things, okay? At one point, I was fairly young, and I enjoyed listening to Phillies. And I had a Philly shirt, and it went with me a lot of places. The other time was a sweatshirt, and I wore that a lot. And it got ruined at some point by super glue or something. The other time, there was a CD, Garments of Praise, and I enjoy singing. And I popped it in there, and I would sing a lot. My family got annoyed, but I would turn it up. I remember that night I turned it up, and it was blaring. I do remember, because I was singing loud. And eventually Dad said, all right, Damien, turn it off. But it was something that I treasured, that gift. It was cool. So I played it, and I played it loud. But do you treasure the gift that you have been given more than the one that you might get? Practically speaking, or moving forward, as we continue to think about the gift that's been given, us in worship, and how maybe we have to adjust some of our practices, sisters, or whoever creates the eloquent settings and amazing things at Christmas time. Most likely it's the women, the sisters, but there might be a few men that contribute to that as well. Not me as much, but don't let the season of peace be turned into a marathon of perfectionism. Don't be Martha, encumbered about with many things, the Pinterest whatever that you might find. Don't let the season of peace be turned into a marathon of perfectionism. You know, you can plan, you can decorate, and you might have ideas for different moments. We're going to do this when they come. We're going to take these pictures here, or whatever it might be. But don't let the season of peace be turned into a marathon of perfectionism. Remember that, like Martha, your home, your meal, as amazing as it is, your gifts that you might get, it's not the focus. They're not the focus. And all the energy that you put into it, it's not the focus. Jesus is. Or verse 11 is. That's the theme. Maybe you're becoming overly stressed by it. So maybe you just need to ask yourself the question, how can I put the focus back on Jesus? Because currently, if you're worried about your home, your meal, your gifts, so much so, and it's stressing us out, or you all out, not me, if it's stressing you out, it's a focus on self. It's an inward focus on how you can create. You could say, for the glory of Jesus, yes, but there's a focus too much so on ourselves. How can you put the focus back and on pointing it to Jesus as you continue to create the beauty that you all do create? Maybe it's a cake for Jesus, for your children, to help point back. These are just some ideas. Maybe it's Bible verses about the Christmas story. How can you treasure and ponder and then influence those around you? Not to say, wow, you have the perfect gift and the perfect home and the perfect meal and whatever else it might be for you as ladies. But that they would ponder and treasure your home that pushed them towards Jesus. Don't let the season of peace be turned into a marathon perfectionism. And for the men, we got to take active roles. And so after we've treasured, and for the ladies as well, we have to treasure and ponder first. We have to worship. And then when we do that and we're in the right mindset, we can then go and reflect Jesus, right? For the men as well, we've got to treasure and ponder first. And then from there, you know, we're good at leading our families to the food trough, but we got to lead them to the manger. We can drive there to the get-together and eat a lot of good food. But lead your families to the manger and not just to the food trough. Don't just be a passive follower. Just go along with whatever your amazing wives have planned out. But you can lead out when you see the opportunities to take the role, appoint our families, grandchildren, maybe it's friends if you have friends over, back to the meeting of Jesus. And in doing that, it actually takes pressure off the sisters. It takes pressure off their back because they do what they do well at, right? But the spiritual leaders are supposed to be the men in the home. And so it's our role to do that. We as men are called to lead our families to the manger and instruct our families and our grandchildren. Maybe it's by reading stories I heard a suggestion at some point this year. I was trying to think, what else could I do because of this kind of idea of Christmas gifts and becoming the focus? What else could I do? And someone, I don't know where it was, but someone had said, use an Advent storybook. And it has practical, like, coloring, and it goes through the story of Jesus. And every night, there's different activities for your children to do. And I found it really helpful. But do things as men, or create situations where we're the spiritual leaders in reflecting Jesus. Maybe we're going to be the ones who reads the Christmas story before the gifts, right? Maybe we lead in singing. Whether or not we sound like the donkey beside the manger, it doesn't matter. Just lead in singing. Okay, lead a few songs, and you know what? Your grandchildren or children are probably not going to remember how you sang. It's that you did sing. It doesn't have to be perfect. Women, it doesn't have to be perfect. Your homes, but put the focus back on Jesus. Maybe it's as fathers or grandfathers playing Joseph, or maybe the donkey, or maybe King Herod, or whatever else. To help put focus back on the Savior Christ, our Lord, was born, and he's the reason for the season. Men, lead your families to the manger and not just to the food trough. And so as I conclude everything, may you, may I, be one who treasures and ponders like Mary, trying to put together as we reflect and worship, we treasure, ponder, worship the Savior, and from there we go out and tell. And as God reveals the depth of the salvation plan to us, we're left with a choice. And as kind of a summary, I had wrote a poem prior to knowing what I was going to speak about, but I think the Christmas story leads you down to a choice. Whether or not you believe that the baby in the hay is what God intended to save mankind. So the poem is, Do You Believe? From the virgin to the hay, to the tomb, and on this day, do you believe? From the manger to the day when Christ died and made a way, do you believe? You know, from the stars in the sky and the singing to Christ on high, do you believe? When the tax was first made known, the plan to Joseph was shown, do you believe? And could it be that Christ on high came to this world so that he could die for you and for I? Do you believe? From the Magi, though afar, came gifts to God way above par. And a gift to us is not very far. If only you open up the heart, do you believe? From angels high and a king so mean, will you only act as if it's a dream that truly God could never save men through a baby in Bethlehem? Do you believe? In a stable long ago with hay for his head and nothing to show of royalty or things to mean of power and might or things even clean. Do you believe? The story that's told in the book that we're given, that we hold, is inconceivable, is what we're told. Surely God, the King of all men, would not have shared his bed with a hen. Do you believe? Emmanuel with us, the God of all men, was born in a stable in Bethlehem. As inconceivable as it can seem, I believe the story as told to you and to me. That God could raise up a Savior of men out of a stable in Bethlehem. From the hay to the sky, when he rose up after dying. The story is up to you and to me, whether or not you believe. So do you believe in the revelation of Jesus Christ coming to earth as a baby? May this Christmas be a Christmas for all of us, for all of God's people, to treasure and to ponder the gift. Treasure and ponder the gift. And may we as Christ's people keep Christ in Christmas, that things don't blur it out, that, oh, I'm so glad it's past. Keep Christ in Christmas. Jesus the focus and a believer of both the first coming as a baby and the second coming. Why don't we all stand and we'll get ready for a word of prayer.